fighting for America.
These are people that are here illegally, get caught, get convicted, and you release back out in the public. And the president promised the American people he would deport them, and he's not.
Fighting for Idaho.
A man came to the house as she was leaving Saturday night asking about the wooden pallets that Acree and Evans sold. Police say when she got back home, Evans had been shot to death.
Fighting for you.
You're walking around with high heels on the size 14 and a big Adam's apple. Come on, people are going to look at you weird. You could go out the door dressed a little more normal so you don't attract all that attention, but clearly you want to.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO. Well, look who's back. Dave Pezzo, international traveler, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Good to have you with us, sir.
It's great to be with you again. Goodness.
You know, it's been a while since we've talked money. You know, what is there? Nothing new. The market just keeps going up and up and up.
We have been, actually, it has been very interesting with this talk of what the Fed's going to do or not do, how soon interest rates are going to move up. And I really think, Kevin, that this is misunderstood by investors greatly, that there's this idea that every single day there's some kind of an event that has to move the market, that there's something out there that's, that the traders are just waiting for, that news moves the market day to day, and it does not. Now, unsuspecting news like the Twin Towers being attacked, of course those types of events, big major events, do move markets. But as the news cycle is, and you're really aware of this, we can't just say the market was up today. We now have to have a litany of reasons why it moved, 0.1% on the day. And that really isn't the case, though. But they won't create business news to just say that the market went up 0.1% today. So we create this big news cycle around it, interest rates and what the Fed's going to do. But the reality is the market rests from time to time. It doesn't move straight up. It doesn't move straight down. And we just celebrated the 6th anniversary of the market bottom with the markets up 300%. We tripled from those levels. It's okay for the market to move sideways. So that's what we are doing right now, Kevin. We're just moving sideways, but we are seeing a little bit of volatility in there. I think it's this jabber about the U.S. dollar, and we're trying to figure out what the world order is right now with a super strong U.S. dollar.
Well, what does that mean? Because we've heard the speculation that if the interest rates go up, it's going to impact obviously the power of lending. Does that impact someone's 401k or IRA?
More so, I think, the 401k and IRA. Here's why. First of all, long-term interest rates are not controlled by the Fed. They set the short-term Fed funds rate, right, which is at zero right now. So if they go to 0.25, I just don't think there's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth. I just think that that's really super low. It's not a big deal. So normalizing it, getting this up to even a Fed's fund rate of 1%, 1.5% in a zero or low inflation environment that we're in, that's normal. But that has no impact on the 10-year treasuries, the longer side, meaning the mortgages, because that's what sets the mortgage rates. So when we talk about the Fed raising rates, that does not affect the long-term rates. So we're seeing what's called a flattening of the yield curve. Okay, so now let's get technical. What does that mean?
Yeah, hold on. Let me stop here, Dave Pezzo, because I am a broadcast professional. What does that mean?
Okay, sorry. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that mean? It means as long, normally you would get paid a lot more if you were to lend money for a longer period of time, and then less on a short term. So that steep grade is a normal curve. When you flatten it, meaning short-term rates are moving higher and long-term rates aren't going higher, that's a flattening of the yield curve. That's what we're seeing right now, because long-term rates have global competition, and we've got negative interest rates in Germany and other parts of Europe. So the world is competing with a stronger dollar, and why would I go and buy negative yields in Japan, Germany, against a strengthening dollar? So money's finding its way into our long-term bonds, Kevin.
Right, and that's good news to some degree, but mm-hmm. You have a lot of economists like it when we have a weak dollar.
It's a fair point, and that's where this battle right now between the strong dollar and weak dollar. Of course, everybody wants to be strong, so that sounds good. But everything, every, if you will, opportunity or gift you have also has its dark side to it. And that dark side is it's much harder to compete on a global stage if your currency is strong. But that's a short-term statement, not a long-term statement. There's no country that says, you know, if our currency could only be like the old days when we had the banana republics of Brazil, if only we had like 20,000% inflation,
right,
we could sell lots of stuff abroad. That doesn't work well for the economy. So if taken to the extreme, you don't want an extremely weak currency. You don't want an extremely strong one because it makes it very difficult to have a strong export business. But America's in a good position, but strong dollar means you attract capital, interest rates stay low, and inflation stays low. That's all positive in the long term to your economy. Short term, absolutely. But again, Kevin, I'm going to go back to this. I'm going to say the news cycle is responsible for saying not what's right in the world, but every single day, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let me get back to this. And if we have a weak dollar, doesn't that encourage foreign investment because they get more for their money? And if the dollar is strong, it allows us either as tourists or business folks to get more of our money, get more for our money when we visit, when we go to foreign countries.
Absolutely. And it also, there's another slight impact. And it is, I don't think it's all that slight to some of your major metropolitan areas like New York, because there's a lot of people that come and shop, foreigners that come and shop in New York when the dollar is weaker, because we have such an abundance of all kinds of consumer goods that people come here to shop. And it's a lot cheaper than buying in Brazil and buying in London and places like that. So the Chinese come and all these other places come to the U.S. Why? To shop. You strengthen the dollar. Now it's more expensive to shop. Now, these are very wealthy people, so it's not going to be that big a deal, but the bargains are not there anymore. So for foreigners coming here, I think you have less foreign travel for sure, but what the heck, is it going to be great if we ever feel like we want to, or it's safe, that we would ever want to leave the United States again.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. I see you have your notes here. Is there anything you'd like to share with us if it's been a while?
Well, you know, I think that I do. We just had our, as I mentioned in our previous comment, the sixth anniversary of the bottom of the market. Unfortunately, Kevin, the dark side of that, too, is this. Many people missed out. They just flat missed it. Because, again, the news cycle and this whole – I just wrote a newsletter, and, in fact, you know, people can go read it on the website if they want to. But it's called Clever by Half, where we're, you know, we've heard me talk about that before, where we're sitting there reading and blogging and thinking about and confirming our own given bias of how bad things are. And through that, people have managed to have a tremendous amount of fear about what the Fed was doing, about how corporations were going to react, what Obama's doing, what the administration is doing, broadly speaking, through all of the different agencies that they govern. All of these are problems, yes, but we missed the point that corporate world has figured out how to work around it and has had amazing returns. So the negative is so many people have missed this major bull market. It's been a great recovery, fantastic recovery, and it's too bad that so many missed out.
Now, is it over?
I don't think so, but you can't get your tripling back. The market's literally triple from the bottom. You can't have that back. So are returns going to be triple over the next 6 years? I certainly doubt it, and I would give people long odds that they're going to do as well the next 6 years as we've done. Is it over? I don't really know. Nobody does, but we could proclaim we knew. But I don't see any particular reason why the
right
market should go down at this point in time. There are really, literally no competitors to stocks investment-wise, none. There never really have been, but right now you're just still being paid zero to hold cash, and bonds look very, very unattractive with many countries in the world having negative real returns.
So if the interest rate does go up, you're looking, what, in June to make this happen, that this will happen?
It's possible that the Fed does it. It's possible that they are data dependent, as they continue to say all the time. It's possible they put it off because the world is not looking very strong. economically? Why do you have to in a world that we're afraid of disinflation much more than inflation? And that's where I think a lot of people missed it. You just print money, but without the volatility of money or the circulating in the system of money was what that means. You really don't have inflation caused by just printing money. Just if you just print it and then it just sits in the bank, which is what it's been doing,
right?
It doesn't cause inflation. It's just printed money sitting there.
Right, but on the other hand, we have seen the cost of goods go up under this administration.
Oh, it definitely has, Kevin, but not out of control. And that part of it, if you think about it as the opposite, meaning the depression, was when prices were declining. That is insufferable. That's why the world is worried so much about disinflation, why Europe is doing their own QE, why Japan is. Japan's been in such a disinflationary environment for 20 years that's been devastating to their economy. This is, I think, a last-gasp effort for Japan to get back into the international fold because they are really printing money now, and you just can't put up with years and years of disinflation. The reason why is, why would I buy a piece of equipment today that if I put it off, it gets cheaper tomorrow? Well, I don't.
Dave Pezzo with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. Don't forget, you can catch Dave every Saturday, 8 to 10, on Money Matters at 580 KIDO. Now, you've been doing a lot of traveling. What's the reaction when you tell people you're from Idaho?
Most of the time now, people said, oh, my gosh, I was there. What a beautiful place. Or somebody will say, I can't believe how alive Boise is, and especially people that travel here more than once, twice, have been here a couple of times, how vibrant the downtown is, how beautiful the Greenbelt is. People love to come here. Our wholesalers, you know, the different vendors that we have and stuff.
Your Costco.
Right. They come, and they are absolutely, they love staying here. They love staying and playing here, doing business, and then, you know, many of them go for a run on the Greenbelt or go for a bike ride, go skiing. Night skiing is real here. So the answer is you hear all the wonderful things. I hear a lot less about the blue turf and, you know, oh, never been there but saw it on TV type of thing. A lot of people have visited Boise and are very impressed.
Well, when we talk about that growth, and Dave Pezzo, hold that thought. Coming up, we'll once again revisit economic growth, economic opportunity, not only in the Treasure Valley, but throughout the state of Idaho and our big competitors, not only in the Northwest, but other countries as well, as we look for private and public entities to develop jobs and economies to make sure that we can afford for people to stay here. That's coming up next with Dave Pezzo. My name is Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Pezzo with us, talking all things money. So let's take a look. You know, you were describing when you've been to other places, you talk about Idaho, talk about Boise, the Treasure Valley. You know, we have a thriving economy going on right now, but you just wonder if we'll ever get back to the 07, 2.0, 2.5 levels of unemployment.
And the answer is, no, I don't think we will. Plus, I think that the job creation then versus now was much higher paying jobs, much more stable. And as you and I have talked many, many times, Kevin, there's something wrong with the way we look at the unemployment rate. There's a huge problem when you don't have real wage growth occurring, when tax receipts are minimal. And yet we're reporting, another 300,000 jobs were created this particular month. And our GDP is not growing even by 3 percentage points 6 years into a recovery. Kevin, no economist can bring the two together and go, yep, we think those employment numbers are highly accurate. So to answer your question, I think the real unemployment rate is higher. Or underemployed, U6, if you will, since I always like to talk about the U6 rate, it's still too high. That's the unemployed, the underemployed, okay? Those are the people that want better jobs and can't get them. So those folks are still not in the workforce the way they were back then. Plus, the rate is higher. So the answer is no, and I also think some of that, frankly, is not cyclical. It's secular. I think it's going to be many people are being replaced by technology. We're more productive. You look around here at the radio stations, and you can, you know, see how much automation is in there, how many fewer people than 20 years ago,
then
10
again,
years ago.
Is the product better?
No, it's not better. It's not better.
There's your answer.
The product is not better.
There's your answer.
It's been replaced by technology. It's been replaced by iPods and a new generation that does not engage in discussion. They engage in texting, and they engage in you listening to music.
Just giving you the rope here at 580 KIDL. But, you know, again, we could talk about the radio industry where you had mom and pops being, you know, changed over to, you know, publicly traded corporations, each having a different set of goals, one to serve
right.
the community, one to serve the shareholders. But we go to the Treasure Valley, and, you know, we have Micron, but not everybody can work at Micron. We have, you know, Chobani and Twin Falls. We have other retail establishments. You know, I'm going to call upon your elected political experience, Dave Petso. And if, in fact, you were the czar of economic development or the governor, what would be your economic plan to revitalize, rejuvenate the economy here so you'd have real-life opportunities for real-life people that want to stay here?
Kevin, I think that actually the state has done a very good job. So I don't think that there's a whole lot that you could say, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. I mean, everybody has their own personal axe to grind, which I don't think is very helpful at all. I just think when all we do is have a political agenda that the intelligent dialogue suffers and people get caught up on one item or another, or if I can't have it 100% my way, then I don't want to play. And we get in that kind of a mode. I think all in all that the state has done a fantastic job with a very difficult state. We're somewhat isolated. And although air travel here, I've found in my travels, is getting better. It clearly is, you know, with nonstops all the way to Houston and things like that. We're picking up a few flights. So things are seeming to work better at the airport. And as you and I have talked, I've felt that that is a very important pinning for businesses to think about locating here. You have to be able to get your people out and into the world in an easier way. And I think they're making some inroads there. But as far as our overall tax structure, I would love to see a reduction of taxes. I think our taxes are way too high in the state, and that is always a problem. That's always a reason for businesses to choose Texas over somewhere else. But the ease of doing business in Idaho is a plus, so we've kept the red tape down clearly, and it is obvious that we have been gifted with the best four-season climate in the history of the planet. It just simply is off the charts how good it is here, not humid, sunshiny, et cetera, et cetera. It is such a beautiful place to live and be.
Sure. But
no wonder everybody's so happy here.
But back to your point, I don't think it's a personal axe to grind to say you got people that graduate college and they can't get jobs here and they leave.
Just
now,
like,
is that government's responsibility? I don't know. In some states, as you pointed out, Texas, that has more natural resources,
yep.
They seem to be recruiting and developing industries, you know, doing more with less. That's the challenge for any business.
Well, it is. And that's why I think it's impressive when we get any wins because of the tax structure. And we don't have something that naturally pays a lot of royalties like oil. And so the state does have issues. And we are the fastest growing state, our lowest unemployment rate, all those things of any state that it wasn't drilling for oil over the past
five
years.
Well, now, wait a minute. You said don't trust the unemployment rates a minute ago.
Yeah, well, I don't. I don't trust the whole calculation, but I'm not saying state to state they're making it up. I don't trust it anyway.
Right. Well, can you build an economy based on lifestyle? Can you attract enough people because it's a great place to live? You look at some places in Montana that are doing very well, and look, compared to those places in Montana, this is New York City.
Right. That's true. But you're not, no, because it's way too isolated up there, and you're not going to have the kind of robust downtown area. Billings looks tired to me. You know, you go to a place like Billings, I've been there, it's pretty tired. It's not Boise light, it's just
it's light.
It's tired. It's really tired.
And that message was sponsored by the Billings Chamber of Commerce here at 580KIDO with our great friend Dave Petz. So it's been a while since we've talked a little bit about all the construction, the transportation tax issue that the legislature is debating. You're not a fan of any tax increase.
No, the only taxes I think we need to look at are how to restructure, not an increase, but a restructuring of the highway taxes, the gas taxes, because we simply can't function with adding more roads with so many vehicles that pay zero. They pay zero because they don't fill up with gasoline, but they use the roads.
Well, but on the other hand, and I got this from AAA Idaho, you have all these out-of-state truck drivers that don't pay a usage fee. They tear up our roads all the time.
Well, I think that's pretty debatable. I think they pay huge taxes. I don't think that they pay no taxes.
They're not paying taxes to fix the roads that they use. Why should I have to pay more for Billy Bob Trucker to come in here? And you have Idaho companies that pay for it. Why do we have to do that for out-of-state folks?
Yeah.
And on that note, we'll move on.
Yeah, the truckers aren't paying any taxes.
They aren't.
I already feel phone lines lighting
up.
Hey,
man, tell that to the folks that want to take their CDU out. I'm looking out for them.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Dave Petz. More coming up next at 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin Miller Show. Always appreciate new follows, and we retweet, and we do all those wonderful things. Joining us is Dave Petz from the Petz Center, Petz Financial. One movement that we haven't made because you've been on the road and doing all these wonderful things. Good old K. Millie's been here just like an old tired dog waiting for you to come back. Is our friends at Apple.
Yeah.
And it's interesting they've come out with this watch. And every time I see Apple, I always remember the Dave Petz quote, they've made luxury a necessity. And I love how all of a sudden if you have an iPhone, you update it. And then lo and behold, you have an app for the iWatch. Now, you probably even can't get rid of that. And isn't that wonderful that even if you don't buy an iWatch, you already have it on your phone?
Yes, you are. If you're already developing apps.
Right.
This is amazing. Okay, so they just had their event just, you know, days ago, right?
Starts at $389 and tops out at $10,000.
Basically $1,200, but yeah, unless you want it gold-plated or something. It's amazing. But here's the point, not the price, not whether it's
really,
fashion
does anybody,
statement.
Does anybody really need to be like Dick Tracy in 2015?
They will for health reasons.
Oh,
so the answer is, do I need to make calls on it? Nope. Can I get a Fitbit instead? Yep. Can I get something that does all of that? Nope, not without the Apple Watch. But most importantly, and here's the thing that they announced that was, I don't know, almost dismissed, and I do not understand why, is it was really exciting. And that's their new health kit, where they're going to link all these people up. Kevin, the iWatch is not even available yet, correct?
Correct. Comes out in April, I guess.
50,000 people have already signed up. 50,000 that have heart conditions to be studied and to have them and be monitored. 50,000.
Monitored
that would
by
take
who?
By the docs.
By Tim Cook?
By Tim, yeah. It's an amazing linkage that is going to completely revolutionize healthcare. We, instead now of having 50 clinics over a 10-year period to study 50,000 people, we're doing it now, and the iWatch isn't even out. They've already signed up, but they can't even start the program because they don't have the watches yet. That's how quickly we're linking up. You don't have to find people, run massive tests. They're out there. They're there. Now let's monitor them and bring that data together to the best minds in the world to solve cardiovascular problems. Kevin, if you're a diabetic, imagine day-to-day, minute-to-minute, it is monitoring your insulin level to allow you to perfect your own health care, to design your own. Imagine that. I mean, imagine if you have another blood disorder and it's a little bit out of whack. No wonder you're a little bit dizzy. All you have to do is check your watch and boom, you're there. It's going to be amazing. And then when you think about all these people, for example, in Idaho, and this gets back to, as I mentioned when you and I were chatting earlier, that we had John Deal, who's with the MIT Aging Lab. It was in town here, and visited with him. He was talking about the fact that what's going to be so great are smart homes as well as a watch. Imagine if you're in council and you have and you fall in your house and they immediately know you've fallen. They know because your watch indicated it, or the floor. These types of things are going to allow us not just to live longer lives, but better lives. It's going to allow us to stay in our own homes longer because we can be monitored and know, hey, Kevin, you're going to have a heart attack. You better get to the hospital. We're worried about it. So when people are diagnosed, they can be monitored, and then we can actually know, hey, you're going to get a little phone call, maybe on your Dick Tracy watch. We'll come in to you and say, Kevin, you better get to the hospital right now. This is going to change lives in a very radical way, and I believe that we're just on the edge of literally conquering cardiovascular disease and cancers of all kinds. We already are. We're already almost there on all these, but with all this additional data coming in, it's going to be an amazing thing. So this is really cool, and by the way, another luxury item that we clearly don't need.
What if people don't want to have their privacy? I mean, that could also be used against them for health care and insurance carriers and everything else. I mean, essentially,
yep,
what we're talking about, and maybe it'll do more, but it just you're just wearing a heart rate monitor that you can give it for $99.
Yep. Yeah, Kevin, you have a great point. It's
Me being the fiscal conservative of the duo.
being that you will have to make that choice. But I'll tell you, if you're having a condition, right, that's something that you wear and share with your doctors, that you would be willing to do that. You not maybe having a condition, then no.
You know,
then
sometimes
privacy is
an
issue.
Sometimes you leave things to chance. Sometimes you just kind of got to let things happen.
Well, you do. But
you've bought into this Apple propaganda here.
I think it's going to be an amazing future. Yeah.
Wow, but what about the privacy?
I don't have a health issue, but I can't imagine if I did, I wouldn't want to have this kind of science backing me up. You bet.
So you're going to get an Apple Watch?
No, I probably will be one of the last adopters of the Apple Watch. I don't need to count my steps every day.
Now wait
Kevin.
A minute, you just said it was the best thing ever.
Well, it is. It is for those people that have conditions.
But even if you don't, I mean, just to make sure you don't have a condition.
Well, I think that would be your normal blood test would probably help do that. But what I'm saying is this is not going to be announced in the next month or two, but all these things are on an ongoing basis are going to continue. Everybody forgets that technology is exponential. It is not linear. It is these leapfrogging. Do you know how long the iPhone has been around?
6 years.
You did know that.
I guessed. I really just guessed.
Think about that, though.
Oh, it's
changed
our lives.
6 years. That's it.
Right.
And look where we are from the first one, from the flip phone. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Now everybody says, well, what are you going to do from here? Think exponentially.
Well, disrupting.
Quit thinking like a monkey.
Well, that's what
we do.
Well, you know, some of us are just born that way. But let me go back to what Apple seems to do, and that's disrupt and attack their own devices. You look at the iPhone attacking the iPod. Then the iPad attacking the iPhone. They're not afraid, unlike any other company, to attack their own products, and they've been rewarded for that.
They have. And, Kevin, if you're not attacking your own products, then you're soon to be out of business because somebody else will.
Oh, we attack our own product here each and every day.
Absolutely you do.
Yes.
And you're a devastating killer.
Yes, exactly. Yes, very very proficient at attacking myself. All right. Dave Pezza with us here at 580K IDO. So the Samsung watch wasn't a big hit. Why?
It's Samsung. It's not Apple.
They have to wait for Apple to come out with it. And then magically the same features will happen.
Nope. Apple does it better. Apple does it better. All the apps are being written out there. It'll get better and better. And the first iteration of it is going to be cool for some people to buy. But what that does is it starts to build the ecosystem out, and you get more and more apps built and more, and then some of the other features get better and better. And, again, exponentially, a year from now, the watch will be better, and it'll be way better again in another year. And it's, people think linear. They just can't stop and think about it on an exponential basis. In 6 years, look what's happened with that phone. It's absolutely astounding how much it's changed our lives and how many apps are available on it now. It won't be long before you just breathe into it. And I've talked about this before. There's an XPRIZE out there now where you remember the tricorders from the Star Trek days?
Right.
Right? Where, you know, you wave that over and it's a, you're a Vulcan and you have the flu. Okay? They have one. It will be announced within the next few months. And they had all of these teams of doctors and scientists as and doctors, as well as, high-tech people developing it and to get this multi-million-dollar, I think it was a $10 million prize. And they nailed it. Imagine walking around in the jungles of Africa and diagnosing, let's say, 80% of all the possible diseases out there by waving it over somebody, having them breathe into it.
What are you, a humanitarian now?
Yeah,
apparently you're making the world a better place.
It's an abundant place, Kevin. It's abundant, and it just we just don't think exponentially, and that I think slows down our thinking and makes us much more likely to say, this iWatch isn't any big deal. Smart floors, smart things like that to help old people. Okay, you and I are going to get there someday.
I'm already old.
I want them to know when I've fallen down and
you can't
and come get me.
Yes.
That's right.
Dave Pezzo with us. Just remember, I'm going to use his own words here, making luxury a necessity.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do.
All right, more coming up with Dave Pezzo next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Time for
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here. You can follow me at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter and Facebook. 580KIDO.com for podcasts and blogs. Dave Pezzo with us here. Let's talk a little bit about, more on the Apple Watch. Is there any local people that benefit from this?
Micron.
Oh,
Micron. Absolutely. Chips, more chips in everything we do.
Chips, more chips, potato chips.
It does. And, you know, every single device. And also one of the things, okay, so we talked about the iWatch. That's the big news. But they also had refresh on all of their product line, which what does refresh mean? It means more data, more chips are necessary on each device. So we have so many transistors and microchips, NAND flash, and all those things. So Micron is a benefactor of our mobile and high-tech society. There's no question about it. Big benefactor.
All right, let's talk a little bit here at 580KIDO about the economic impact here in the Treasure Valley. We see a lot of homes going up still. Real estate market appears to be strong. Lots of businesses still coming in. Your thoughts?
It's all good. It is all good. I mean, growth begets more growth. It always does. People don't want to go to a tired community, as we discussed in a prior segment.
Billings?
It's tired, and people don't want to go to places that don't seem to be growing, don't seem to be alive. And so places that are alive beget more growth. They really do. We're on fire here, and people want to come here and be part of that, and they do. And you're seeing it with all the retail, right? Out there, what's going on in Meridian is ridiculous. All the growth throughout the valley is absolutely tremendous, both retail, a lot of these national chains that, you know, in some of my travels here, you know, places, again, like the Yard House and stuff like that, you see those in San Jose and, you know, in Newport Beach. You don't see them in Boise unless they're alive and vibrant. So I think the demographics here really point to continued growth, Kevin. I really feel good about this valley.
On the other hand, you've had some lifelong businesses shut down, most notably Fuddruckers shutting one location. Now they're a second one in Meridian.
It's hard. It's hard to keep that edge. You think about it, first of all, restaurants always fail eventually, right? They all do, and they eventually fail. And then they have a refresh, a restart, and something else happens. But creative destruction is you know, it's what makes it work so well, and it makes the system so wealthy and increases the GDP of all of us. But at the same time, does it disrupt employees? Yes. Is it painful? Yes. Do people fail in business? Yes, they do. And they do all the time. And hopefully what they really do is that they fall forward or fail forward and they start up and go again. Everybody has, you know, one of my favorite things I think about, too, is when I'm thinking about good leaders, great leaders, right? Great leaders have failed. It's what one of the things that really makes them a hallmark of being a great leader. Why do I think Obama is such a horrific leader? He's never done anything, and he's never failed. Because if you don't do anything, you never fail at it. You don't. If you don't have failures, then you can't have the empathy for what it's like to go out there, pick yourself up, and make it happen again, losing a job and moving on to something else. That kind of empathy in the whole creative destruction makes it better for all of us. And hopefully, you know, people get taken down, they get taken out. But they come back and dust themselves off and move on to some new enterprise.
Dave Petso, we appreciate that. If people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
Easiest way is go to our website, petsofinancial.com, and you can shoot us an email over there, phone call, letters, whatever.
And don't forget, Money Matters every Saturday right here at 580 KIDO. Dave, once again, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Don't be a stranger anymore.
Likewise.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Fox News is next. Stay here, stay informed. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. KIDO.